And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Joe.
All right, let's go right to it. Ross Tucker joining us this morning from the Ross Tucker podcast, part of the Odyssey team as well, and a lot of NFL games, doing them nationally. I get to see him a lot of different weeks in a lot of different cities. Ross, good morning. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing awesome, Joe. How about yourself?
Man, I'm hanging in. So I got to get right to it. A lot of our fan base is not happy with the Miami Dolphins. I figured he's up in your where you close to where you live. Chop Robinson from Penn State, 11 and a half sacks in 3 years. People are worried about his production, as good athlete as he is. What's your take on the Dolphins taking edge rusher out of Penn State, Chop Robinson?
Yeah, so, well, you know, I live like an hour from Penn State.
Right.
And so I've actually met and been around Chop a couple times. Man, he's a physically impressive dude, Joe, when you see him. I mean, he is rocked up, put together. And when you watch him move on tape and when you watch him move in games, the guy he reminded me of is Micah Parsons. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Micah Parsons. I'm just saying, you know, they played right after each other at Penn
yes.
State.
Right.
And so, uncommon burst and explosiveness. I mean, forget even his 40 time at the combine, which was ridiculous. I think he had the fastest 10-yard split ever for a guy over 250 pounds, something like that. Don't quote me on it, but
no, he ran a 4.48. I'm not surprised. The guy runs like he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, it's and when you see him, he's all of 255 and rocked up. You know, I know he didn't have as many sacks as people wanted. Man, he got a lot of hits on the quarterback and a lot of pressure. I mean, he was a problem. Like, watch the Ohio State game. They could not block him. It's why Ohio State couldn't score any points in the game. He was unblockable for Ohio State. I think he's a very, very high-end player. To me, there's three thoughts, right? With Phillips and Chubb both coming off those injuries, you know, obviously they don't know when those guys are going to come back and how great they'll come back, so they needed
right.
somebody else. They lost Van Ginkle in free agency. And then also, you know, D-end and edge rusher in particular, you got to have a bunch. I mean, if you don't have at least three, you got a problem. And really, you should have four. I mean, you want to – I know the Eagles, they try to have five, right? Like, at all times, they try to have five guys that they're giving snaps to as edge rushers. And they always want to feel real good about four of them, right? Real good. And so for the Dolphins, I think they look at it the same way. You know, the knock on him is that the production and also, you know, how well does he play against the run and blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't know that they're going to have him play against the run that much as a rookie. He can learn that part of it. He can get better at that part of it. I think they just need him to be a situational pass rusher. But by the way, I mean, situational pass rusher, Joe, that's like 65% of the snaps now. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, there aren't that many snaps. Like the whole game is situational pass rushing.
Right. Hey, so you feel pretty good because I'm telling you, everybody just looked up Chop Robinson's stats, and there's 11 and a half sacks in 3 years, two at Penn State, one at Maryland, and you know, and people are going because – so you know down here we haven't won a playoff game forever, and so there is a lot of frustration – and a lot of pressure on Chris Greer to get these picks and help Mike get this thing. And you sound like you feel pretty good about what you've seen, that he's going to be just fine.
Well, I don't think he's a one-trick pony. I do think he has some moves. I think he's got more power. And I think there's a pretty good track record in the NFL that if you have that type of elite athleticism – that you're going to be able to get pressure yeah. on the quarterback. I mean, if you're I played offensive line. You're going against a guy with that type of burst, you are going to be concerned about that. You are going to be backpedaling. You are going to be kicking out and worried about his speed around the edge. That opens things up for other guys inside. And listen, I think if you're going to bet on an edge rusher, if you're going to bet on a position, that's a position to bet on, and trait is a pretty darn good thing to bet on. And if you think he needs some more work with his moves, well, then teach him. You know what I mean? That's where coaching comes in. He's still a young guy. The other thing is, you know, it should be noted, Joe, Penn State, first of all, last 2 years had like the best defense in college football, but also they have another guy that's going to get drafted in the second round tonight. They've had a bunch of D linemen and D ends getting drafted high to the point where it's not like he wasn't even playing that many snaps either. You know, he was rotating with other guys also. So that's part of the reason why maybe he didn't have as many. You know, they were barely on the field. Look how many three and outs they had. They had the number one defense in college football. And so because of that, and because they blitzed as much as they did, I think that affects the production. Watch the tape.
Yeah. I thought Manny Diaz, by the way, he did do a really good job of that defense. So I got to ask you here. Yeah,
Manny Diaz, unbelievable. I thought he was the coordinator of the year. They were unbelievable on defense, and it's a huge loss for Penn State that Manny took the Duke job.
Yeah. Well, listen, the story coming out, quarterbacks last night, were you more surprised Bo Nix goes 12 or Michael Penix is Kirk Cousins' backup with Atlanta, that pick at 8?
Definitely Penix Jr. That was by far the biggest surprise of the night. You know, everybody that came on my show, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the only team they ever talked about when it came to Bo Nix was the Broncos. You know, I mean, Greg Cosell was like, he'd be a really good fit in Sean Payton's offense. I mean, for months, people have been talking about how Bo Nix is a Sean Payton type of guy and he'd be a good fit. I hadn't heard a single other team even mention with Bo Nix. So that part of it did not surprise me. The Penix thing, you know, my philosophy on that, Joe, is that when in doubt, decisions in the NFL are made for job security. And I think the GM, Terry Fontenot, in Atlanta, and the head coach, Raheem Morris, I think they thought, you know what, we're going to be pretty good the next couple years with Cousins. And then, you know, Cousins will be 38, 39. If we can transition to a young guy that we like then, that's been around for a couple years, then maybe we have a smooth transition like the Packers did from Favre to Rodgers or Rodgers to Love, and we'll still be good. I mean, those guys, in my mind, kind of bought themselves, what, like 4 years last night? Which in the NFL, that's an eternity. I mean, guys get fired after 1 year. A lot of guys get fired after 2 years, and you definitely get fired after 3 years unless you've really done something impressive. Those guys kind of bought themselves 4 years, right? Because Cousins will play two or three, then they'll have Penix. They won't fire these guys after 1 year of Penix. So I don't know. I think they probably stayed up one night and were like, you know, we can do, if we do this, then we have a job for at least the next 4 years.
Yeah. By the way, GM's making a lot of money now. There's no question. As much time as you can buy as possible. So if somebody would have told me there were going to be six quarterbacks taking the first 12 picks, and I know everybody's looking for that next franchise quarterback. I did not see that one coming overall. Were you surprised in the order of the first three guys, Caleb, Jaden, and then Drake?
No, because that's what it had come out the last couple days. Although I will say this. What's so interesting to me is every guy I had on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I really respect, and I know they put in the work, right? I'm talking Greg Cosell and Chase Daniel, Phil Sims came on, Louis Riddick, Dan Orlovsky. Joe, it was unanimous. They all loved Jaden Daniels and would sing Jaden Daniels' praises and the best pure pocket passer, great progression reader. They loved him. There was a consensus that they did not like Drake May. I mean, Phil Sims said his video was disappointing. Somebody said he was raw. Somebody said bad footwork. Somebody said he misses layups. Someone said that the throw-to-throw accuracy wasn't there. So to me, it's just kind of wild that those guys went back-to-back in the draft. I mean, the guy that everybody loved went number two, and the guy that everybody had concerns about. Literally, every guy came on the show had serious concerns about Drake May. He goes one pick later? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, it was great. And by the way, we talked about the hyping it up all off season here, this leading up to this draft. with the quarterbacks being the story, man. That did not disappoint for sure. Hey, so I got to ask you, man, it's that time of year again. Mother's Day's right around the corner. And it's funny, last time you were on, people were talking about MyFrontPageStory.com is a change up from chocolates and flowers. And you got to talk about this, man.
Well, it's funny because last time I was on was before the Super Bowl, which is Valentine's Day. Now I'm on for the draft, and a couple weeks from now is Mother's Day. And it's the same deal. It's the best Mother's Day gift I've ever seen or heard of. My sister and I actually got it from my mom a couple years ago. And you talk to a writer for like 10 minutes while you're driving home from work, or you can fill out an email if you'd rather do that. Tell them how great your mom is. They write this incredible story, Joe. It's framed. You send them a couple pictures. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. I mean, my mom, it's beautiful. My mom read the quote from my sister that I wouldn't be the woman I am today if it weren't for my mom. She just started crying.
Yeah.
I mean, she started bawling.
That's a
slam dunk. I can almost guarantee your mom will cry. And then she has it hanging up right next to the front door in her house, which I think is a little bit weird, Joe, but whatever. She loves it. MyFrontPageStory.com. MyFrontPageStory.com. Best Mother's Day gift ever.
Ross, that's great stuff. And, man, it's nice talking to you today. And thank you for the update on Miami Dolphins' first pick and everything else for everybody out there. It's been a busy morning. Thank you so much, man. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Joe.
Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Podcast and does a lot of national radio games as well, part of the Odyssey team nationally. And also spending some time just talking about and a guy that we wanted to have on this morning because he is close to Penn State and spends a lot of time up there and get his take on what everybody's talking about with Chop Robinson this morning. By the way, Dolphins' 55th pick coming up today. We'll see if they move, if they stay, try to get another pick maybe in the third round and all those type of things. Right now, though, we got to go to break here. Before we do, though, people need money. Interest rates are high, high insurance rates, HOA fees. What the hell happened in Davie to our HOA fees, honey? My God, a lot of folks running credit card debt up at 28 to 30%. Have you seen credit cards? Oh, interest rates on your credit cards? Whew, good God. Let Michael Koch release some of that money stress. He can help you out the credit card debt that you're dealing with. It's got a lot of people, especially in condos that are retired, in really bad shape. Reverse mortgages, more popular than ever. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify, and Michael Kotze would like to help you get that done where you can get that equity and still have a place to live. He'll tell you all about the reverse mortgage. It might be perfect for you and your wife. Debt consolidation, man, that's always one that's going on, and you could use some of that equity in your home to pay some bills off. Michael Kotze wants to be there to help you quickly. It's a crazy time, man. Everything's going up. Michael Kotze, a choice mortgage. He has no life. He's always working, including tomorrow, Sunday, 7 days a week. Call or text him. Here's his cell phone number, 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730. 30-plus years in the business serving South Florida. MLS 166254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
Chop was someone that we identified and thought he might be there. And, you know, if he wasn't, there were other players we liked there as well. So, but he was our targeted player. So for us, I guess, you know, we're very excited to have him. His testing numbers are elite, you know, and you see all the tools, the things he can do. But, you know, is he a finished product? No. And I think he'd probably admit that to you as well. And not many players come into the league are. So we think he has, obviously, the get off and speed that everyone talks about is kind of rare. His athletic tools. So I think, again, for us, he still has a runway to keep improving. But the fact that the guy works hard and has a tremendous motor and toughness to him, which gives us really excitement to think that he'll reach his peak of ability that we think he can hit.
How close were you to making a trade?
We were active on the phones, I'll just say that. So I don't know how close we got, but we were active probably through the back end of the draft.
Board fall that you guys had set up to what actually happened in round one?
That was pretty close. We were sitting there, yeah. So there were a couple players at the end we were excited for, and so we were active even trying to get back in to get another one here in the late first.
All right, that was Chris Greer, general manager of the Miami Dolphins, which, by the way, you know by now. And, yeah, a lot of you have spoken here on the text machine. A lot, by the way. We have a record amount of text messages coming in this morning, and a lot of them aren't very excited about the Miami Dolphins' first pick made by Chris Greer. And what is it, 11 and a half sacks, Woody, or something the last 3 years that he's played? And
what do you believe is the biggest issue right now, Joe, that fans are dealing with? Like, is it the lack of production? Is it the position?
It's the lack of sacks.
I think the position everybody is understands too, right?
What's that?
The position is an interesting move too. I don't know a lot of us.
No, the
that
position's
that
not. The position is a need. The position.
I know, but was it a first round need?
Well, I only Chris Greer. I mean, if Chris Greer had him as a first round pick, so there's a lot of different parts of this. We needed an edge rusher. We just did. We need a fourth edge rusher. I don't know about Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, except the Achilles doesn't heal overnight. And the ACL is, you know, everybody's different. And I know these are two great athletes, and I know coaches come out and said, you know, these guys, be careful. This has got a little Jalen Ramsey to it. He's going to be back before you know it. But, you know, I agree there, but you got to have four pass rush. You do. And I'm not saying you need five or six, but, you know, I got Shaq Barrett coming in, age 31, from Tampa Bay, who's been a really good player. But I just think with all those guys, and I don't know what this thing's going to look like in September, but we got to play games in September, and I don't have a problem with it. The problem that is more than fair to me that people are bringing up is no matter how good athlete is, you still want to see numbers. Matter of fact, my good friend Harvey Cohen, he sends me stuff early in the morning. We talk sports as well as a great job that he does for Cohen and Judah. But he was just saying, you know, the thing, and by the way, he's one of those guys that's really fair, that thinks things out, and love drinking tequila with that guy. He just said, listen, man, I get he's a good athlete. We've heard this before. Most of these guys in the first round are great athletes. But I am concerned that, now, he had 2 points. I don't know if you agree with these, but I wanted to bring them up because I respect them. 11 and a half sacks in 3 years is like, ooh. I mean, edge rusher is about getting sacks. I don't care about pressures. Usually if you have enough pressures, you get a lot of sacks. It's just a fact. And so that is a concern, although, you know, I also, Ross Tucker has followed him up close and says, Joe, don't be worried about him. He's going to be a really good player. And the second one is there's a lot of people just said this thing needed to be about the offensive line. And there are some really good players. And if we had a potential Pro Bowl center, should we have taken him? Which Baldy the other day talked about Graham Barton, we're talking about, that if that guy is a Pro Bowl potential guard or center, and now they're calling him officially a center with Tampa Bay, and in the draft he was – everybody said he's going to be, and that's the reason went ahead of Jackson Powers, who didn't even get drafted in the first round yesterday from Oregon, who we were told was on a lot of boards was the highest rated guy, that we should have taken a guy that's, you know, again, line up day one, you put him at center, takes a lot of pressure off everything else on the offensive line because he's so good. Now, so if you have that argument or I don't have it. Have a problem with it, and we got to see: is he going to just turn productive overnight? Does he go from 11 and a half sacks to, you know, 7 or 8 next year? I don't know, but I'm like everybody else. I'd like to see a little more production in college. I would like to see more production, and people are going to, well, Joey had a lot of pressures, and you know he got there and he was blowing plays up, and they're able to get away from him. But that's all. But I think it was a position in need now. I will say that. But I was hoping, and I said the last couple of days, I had a little crush on Graham Barton. I
think Baldy did that to you too.
No, but
Baldy
even
really liked him.
Yeah, no, Baldy loved him.
Yeah, that Pro Bowl.
Baldy went all in on Pro Bowl center, all pro center, and he went that full. He didn't call him a Hall of Famer, but he called him a.
Here's the other thing, Joe. If this pick doesn't work out, all these Chris Greer people, that want him out. I imagine this would be the final straw for him, right? Like, can't. He will not be able to survive this guy being a bust.
Well,
so
yes.
This is such a big pick. I also think, Joe, look, the Dolphins were probably not in the market for a wide receiver. They would have just taken one, right, because there are a few good ones left. They weren't in the market for a quarterback. So you had your pick of, what was it, I don't know, the 10th best, maybe, player, non-quarterback or receiver available?
You had your chance. Yeah, there's some good players.
You should have had an instant impact player is what I'm saying here, because of all the positions that went in front of you, all the quarterbacks that got taken, there should have been really good value at 21.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
If this doesn't work for some reason.
Well,
I think people need to let it play out. That's the other thing. Like, everyone's got an opinion already. You know, let's see how the guy plays at the next level before we're ready to crown him a bust or a success, whatever. You have to wait because nobody knows. That's the crazy thing about this draft, Joe. Nobody knows.
So the good news about this, you're going to get to see. And by the way, he's a first-round pick. There's built-in pressure on a first-round pick that comes onto a team to be good. I mean, they get critiqued like nobody's brother. We know that already. That's been going on since they've had the first round of the NFL draft. There's pressure on the guy that's taken. He's going to play right away. Like, that hasn't changed. He's going to play right away so you can find out. Now, let's get to Chris Greer part. If he doesn't work out, yeah, it's going to be heat on Chris Greer. But if the team still plays well, then he's probably going to be fine. Because at the end of the day, this thing's going to be about the team taking the next step. Now, he needs to be a big part of it. I agree. I totally agree. But he could, Woody, would you be surprised if I told you he's lined up as a starter and has to play a lot of snaps in September? If those guys are still getting closer to being ready but not ready, I don't think that would surprise anybody to see if
one. Yes, he should be starting week one, Joe.
Yeah.
The Dolphins had their pick of a lot of guys here, man. There were a lot of guys available at this point in the draft, in the first round.
I think there's a little more need at this position. They felt that because of the injury.
But if Graham Barton ends up being really good, if Xavier Worthy, any of these guys, the guy from LSU ends up being really good, a lot of these guys.
No,
went
you need
right
your
around.
Guy. People Brian will Thomas. Bring that up. People will bring that up after every game, and they're going, so our guy played 20 snaps, had one tackle, and yeah, they're going to bring that up starting right away. Yes, that's going to be part of this story this year. You're exactly right. As
305 trying to make some sense of this, Joe, and this is what I've been trying to say. Do we do this every year or let it play out? Who the hell knows?
Well, listen, we've had an unbelievable response and reaction. A negative one to this pick.
But you admit, we just don't know, right? Like, Deion Jordan comes in and you think, wow, this guy's going to be, a freak, and he ends up being terrible.
Yeah, I remember yesterday with Jeff Ireland was going
but
around.
You just don't know. That's what I'm trying to say is nobody knows. And by the way, you think if they knew these quarterbacks, I mean, everyone had those guys all over the board last night.
Well, what's the chance that all six of those quarterbacks can be good?
0%. I know we don't like to put 0% on stuff, Joe, but that feels like a 0% to me. You think all six of those guys?
By the way, Dan Marino's class had three Hall of Famers, but it had some busts too.
Oh, there's going to be some busts. The one that really needs to be good, though, is Michael Penix.
What do you mean? He doesn't have to play for 2 years. What are you talking about?
If he survives and is still there when Michael Penix ever takes the field, he better pray that guy is good, Joe.
Before he made that move, he had to sell that to the owner. You know that, right?
People keep saying the owner made the pick. Arthur Blank. They said he made the pick. I don't know.
I think he is more.
That doesn't seem like something a competent or somewhat of a competent GM would do.
So I believe every one of these are big decisions. That quarterback taken after you just paid a free agent quarterback the kind of money they just paid for Kirk Cousins. Yeah, you got your owner is going to write a big couple big fat checks. Michael Penix signing bonus is a first round pick. It's going to be $20-something million, if not more.
I watched some of the GM talk afterwards, and, well, this is for the future and, you know, this and that.
Well,
and
he had to sell that then to, like, hey, here's what we're going to do.
You don't sign Kirk Cousins to a monster contract.
What's that company? What's the company that the owner for the Atlanta Falcons? He owns Home Depot. Is it Home Depot he owns?
I don't know.
He owns one of the
Chick-fil-A,
big-ass
maybe,
companies.
I don't know.
Not Chick-fil-A. They just went,
they
I know
have
Chick-fil-A's
that
in Atlanta. You're too funny, man.
They have that in their stadium. It can't be open, though, for home
yeah,
games.
That's a crazy one. Chick-fil-A is
just sits there.
A Christian company. And
they, it's like at the, they have one at Sunday. The Miami airport. We were took a Sunday for just closed, just sitting there.
Yeah, no. Can't, Sunday, can't that's, eat, no. That's the
day of rest.
Yeah. All right.
Apparently. A lot of texts coming
go.
In,
don't,
Joe.
Don't take any jabs, man.
Well, you want to get a chicken sandwich on Sunday. You know, your options are limited.
We'll get to everybody and get your thoughts on it from everybody that's, well... I didn't know we were gonna get this kind of reaction.
Yeah,
today,
I didn't either. But I don't know, man. It was kind of a wild pick, wasn't it?
So here's the problem. This is Deion Jordan was like this freakish, long, perfectly built defensive end coming out, and what, 13 years ago, 14 years, whatever it was ago. I think he's like 34 now. And so Deion comes out, and Ireland's telling everybody, "Oh, listen, this guy is freakish." And everybody kind of looked at his numbers and go, well, he's freakish, but he wasn't freakish at Oregon. He didn't put up, like, crazy numbers. So it was all on potential. So if somebody was to write me about that, even though it's not Ireland, it's Chris, I get it. Because people are like, I don't want to hear about potential for sacks. I want a guy that's done it at the college level. That is fair. It's just fair. Like, do you want a receiver that had 5 catches and take him in the first round, or a guy with 25 catches, take him in the first round? No, you want a guy that's put up some big numbers. It's, you know, you've seen make big plays. And so anyway, we will continue. If you missed the Chris Greer stuff, we'll have it again for you. We'll play it for you in his comments on understanding the upside, and he's got, you know, some stuff he's got to learn, and he will, but he's got all the makings to be a real special player. Right now, I'll tell you about something real special, Woody, before we go to break here, man. I talk about them all the time, Atlantic Men's Clinic. Boy, I'll tell you what, great results. I want to talk to every guy out there that might be dealing with a combination of low T and ED. It happens. By the way, it happens to everybody, if you're honest. Sometimes it happens to guys in their 40s, man. That's tough, but don't worry. I got great news. Happens to guys in their 50s and 60s. Yes, it happened. Damn it, it happened. But I'll tell you what, I met the beautiful people of Atlantic Men's Clinic, and it was no problem. By the way, it was tired all the time. It started with that. And when you're tired, now don't work out. So I was sitting around gaining weight, taking naps, eating. It was just it was bad. It was going the right wrong direction with everything. So, and then with low T, you probably have ED, which, you know, your sex drive is just not there. Well, any of that stuff happening to you, the great news is Atlantic Men's Clinic can take care of it and do it quickly. Listen, I always tell everybody, schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic. You can do it today if you want. They do your lab work, have your results within 30 minutes. Florida licensed medical provider will review your results with you and discuss your options. You make the decision together with the medical team. Your initial visit includes medical consultation, a T, and a PSA test. And if you sign up for testosterone treatment the day of your appointment, your visit is free. A lot of good stuff. 6 locations, so you have one close to you. I've got that Plantation one. That's perfect, right next to the tennis courts, real close. 877-455-7300. If you're going through this right now, you don't have to tell anybody, please set up that appointment and go see the professionals. They got great people that can really get this thing fixed quickly. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.
I think it's some of the versatility we like. You know, I mean, you see it when you watch him. He rushes kind of all over inside. He's over the center. He's 2-point, 3-point. And so that versatility is what, you know, drew us to him initially.
All right. More of Chris Greer talking about his first-round pick last night out of Penn State that we've been talking about all morning, by the way, Chop Robinson. 6'3", 254-pounder out of Penn State. Coached by Manny Diaz the last couple of days and talking about all the different ways to use him. Folks, he's going to play a lot of football. And we will find, boy, I say that a lot. We're going to find out this year. We're going to find out. That is a great, that, you know what? I realize I've been doing that for 20, we'll find out. We'll all get to watch it together. We'll see if this guy can play. We'll watch it together. God, I say that all the time. Anyway, that was Dolphins' first pick. They got another pick today. Going to be an offensive lineman? Going to be a defensive tackle? Going to be a safety? Does Chris find a way to get in now in the third round as well as just the second round? Could that happen? All that stuff comes into play as they now try to fill in all these different positions. It is funny, Woody. We've had a lot of people disappointed, and specifically because they didn't get player out of Duke, Graham Barton. I was surprised. I mean, that's the kind of guy I liked, and I was just watching him, and I liked the fact he could do a lot of different things. And then Baldy said, hey, Joe, he could be like Pro Bowl, All-Pro center right off the bat. He can be really good. Now, that got everybody a little juiced up. And so he's going to Tampa Bay. He's going to be up there with Baker Mayfield. Actually, they'll be working very closely together. Get to know each other very, very well between quarterback and center. So anyway, we've got that going on, and we had the crazy draft yesterday. Just crazy. Six of the first 12 picks were quarterbacks. Nobody could tell me they saw that coming. I'm not going with I saw that coming. First of all, it tied the record with the 83 draft for six quarterbacks in the first round. And only this time, what did Dan Marino go? God, I'm not sure how many teams there were back. 27th,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Washington beat us in the Super Bowl, so they had the last pick that year. And now three of those guys end up. That draft was crazy, right? First of all, Elway, Kelly, and Marino were Hall of Famers. Ken O'Brien was a good player. I think most Jets fans would say he was a good player. He got sacked a lot, but he had some good games and some great shootouts with Danny when they were playing against each other. Then the other two guys didn't work out. Even in that draft, two of the six were just flat out, ooh. Was it Eason and who's the guy that does CBS, was doing the games for a long time, still may be doing them.
Boomer?
No, from Penn State. I can't remember his name. Yes, this is what happens over the years, man. I got five out of six, and I just choked on myself trying to figure out that last one.
Well, living in the present day here, Joe, who do you think out of these quarterbacks ends up being the best one?
I'm going to go ahead and go with Caleb Williams. I'm going to do the first overall pick. The one most consistent thing has been most of the first picks have been pretty good. First overall picks have been pretty good. First overall picks. Now, don't say second overall pick. That hasn't been good. First overall pick has been pretty good, right? Overall, would you agree? I'm just
first
thinking about
overall pick.
First overall pick quarterbacks
been hits,
have been
hits and misses, man. I wouldn't say it's been overall pretty good. No,
I would say recently it's, and I'm probably missing some guys, but somebody will.
Well, Baker Mayfield was taken first.
That's pretty good.
Maybe, Jameis Winston was taken first.
That wasn't good. No, see, there you go. That was not good. That was not good. You got me. Right,
well, it's tough, man. It's tough, and here's the thing: you had two guys that were very even, I guess, going into this thing, and you got a lot of draft analysts or whatever they call themselves that had Jaden Daniels ahead of Caleb Williams.
Not a lot, only a couple.
They
jumped
kept
on
barking
that, man.
About it on TV last night, man. But look, Jaden Daniels in a bad situation. Washington's a dysfunctional franchise, so that's a bad situation. Caleb Williams, I mean, it seems like the Bears are doing everything possible to put weapons around
him. Yeah,
I
agree.
He's been throwing with those guys. He's already been working with them.
Did you see the group of guys? It's pretty good. Pretty good
group.
They
drafted another guy up there early in the
draft. Got a good tight end. Got some veteran, traded for a guy from the Chargers to come in and got a zillion catches.
He just seems like out of the guys that have a chance to succeed early, he seems like the best one. Now, I think J.J. McCarthy's another interesting one, too.
Well, so what's your? I want to hear your take on J.J. McCarthy.
I just think he's got a really good receiver to throw the football to.
Okay,
he's actually got two really good receivers. Yeah, he's got two. Yeah.
We found out the other guy when he was injured. The other guy was pretty damn good. Yeah.
Yeah. So USC. So he's got Addison and J.J. over there. So I just Yeah, I think he's got a chance just because of the weapons that are there. I think he's got a chance to be really good.
You know what, though, Woody? Would you bet paychecks? I know you like to gamble. Would you take a chance? After what we've seen.
You call my wife, tell her I'm betting paychecks now?
I was going to do that one, but you threatened to do something to me, so I just decided that wouldn't be a good idea. Yeah. I don't think my wife would take it real well if I found out one of my buddies actually did that. That'd be breaking all the man code rules, right?
I agree. I do agree.
I mean, if it was your buddy, you go, hey, man, you need to slow down. But the last thing you would do is go, hey, need to tell your husband's, I'm with him all the time and he's got a problem.
So back to his quarterbacks and not our gambling problems here. I do think Drake May will end up being a bust.
That's way too. So
I think that is a bad situation there.
I'm cheating off last night. He has nobody to play with.
Yeah,
correct.
That's a bad situation. And I don't know who's better between him or J.J. McCarthy, but J.J. McCarthy is going to have to be really bad to, you know, bust with those two receivers.
So I got to tell you, I saw a little Bill Belichick last night, and I had mixed reaction on Belichick. Like, Bill, what you did to New England since Brady's been gone, how do you go on those shows and talk about drafts after what you've done? And then I stopped and I go, listen, the guy's, he's got 300-plus wins, and he's won a bunch of championships, but he's never had a great track record of drafting. And he kind of got exposed when Brady left. It was just kind of weird. Like, he's talking about stuff, and you're like, look what you did. The Patriots weren't going to be very good again this year with what they have. I mean, everybody talked about the last couple of years, like, boy, those receivers aren't very good. Yeah, that was – so does he have a chance? I mean, Drake May, you got to give him a chance. You got to get something around him. So – I don't know.
You know who their starting receivers are, Joe? According to their depth chart here, you got KJ Osborne. They brought him in.
Yeah.
Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah. He's okay.
DeMario Douglas. Oh, they signed Juju Smith-Schuster, remember? They have him there. He's still rotting over there.
They're just, they're.
Ramondre Stevenson at back. Yeah.
So there's nothing that screams.
Good.
We got a legit 1 and 2 receiver. Right? I mean,
no, they're not going to be very good, Joe. And you've put that guy in a bad spot. That is a bad spot to get drafted in. JJ McCarthy falls into a great spot.
And unfortunately, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Now, I guess they're saying Darnold's going to start, but I'm going, how long do you think Darnold's going to start when you take a guy that high in the draft? Like, how long do you think that lasts before he takes over at quarterback? And you're right. He's got two really good ones to throw to and a really good tight end. Let's just throw that tight end in there, too. That's a pretty good batch. Hey, we've got the 9 o'clock hour coming up. I'll tell you, Mike Florio's going to join us. We'll get caught up with everything. Did anybody catch the open to see what that crowd was? And then Woody told me this morning. So first thing I say to Woody when we were talking in the 5 o'clock hour, I said, Woody, how many people were there last night?
Well, you thought it was 100,000. You're way off on that one, man.
What did it say? More than 200,000 people were at that draft.
275, Schefter said. He said 275 plus, 275,000 people. By the way, Todd Blackledge was the one you were thinking of. I think he works for ESPN, no?
Is it ESPN? I said CBS. I'm sorry.
I was thinking of like the CBS table, and I'm like, who the hell is he talking about?
No, I wrong grouped it. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
But you know what? The fact that I'm in my 60s and I got 5 out of 6, I was really excited.
That is good. That's a good percentage.
I was really excited, and that's only because I've seen that documentary that John Elway and Dan Marino's agent did was really good on what it was like. I thought that was one of the best 30 for 30s that we've ever had.
No, five out of six is a good batting average. I give you credit for that. Hey, really quick, Joe, speaking of batting averages.
Yeah.
Our friends from the Marlins stopped by this morning. I was able to secure you a few of these, by the way. I just want you to know that. But they brought by these giveaways that they're doing this weekend
for the Washington Nationals. What
the
do they
Nationals
have?
Are in town. So they got on Saturday, they have these SoFlo Saturday jerseys that they're doing.
Yeah.
And they have the area codes on the back with the county. So you get those jerseys. That's on Saturday. And then Sunday, they're giving away these basketball jerseys to the first 8,000 fans. They are really nice. And by the way, they have a 4 for $44 going on.
On Sunday, every Wednesday and Sunday, yeah.
Four tickets, four dogs, four sodas, four small popcorns for $44. And, I am a big fan of taking a family somewhere that doesn't break the bank. And that is about as good as you are going to get for live entertainment in this town.
We have said this, that the marketing department for the Marlins, with this kids program that they have, once you sign up for it, you get something every time you go, plus all these giveaways that they do. Don't blame the marketing team for what's going on the field. Those guys have put together, whoever's in charge of marketing over there has done a great job. They really have. So I want to thank them for stopping by. Marlin's going to be home for a 7-game homestand.
I saved you one of those basketball jerseys, too. You could show off your pythons when you get back here. I know you've been working out.
This is a bad body, brother. This is a bad body.
You wear a sports bra under it or something.
Okay, let me tighten it up and see what I can do. Because I'm not going to lift weights, and you're right. Everything's
Omar will set you up with his yoga place. You get a nice sports bra.
Hey, yeah, man, leave Omar, Miami Herald Omar, alone, man. He's all jacked up. Hey, I got to take a second here this morning before we get to 9 o'clock hour. No, I'm not an attorney for the firm of Cohen and Judah, but I will tell you, I think the world of both those guys because I think they're really good. And once you get to know people personally and you realize how much they care, I'm talking about the injury law firm of Cohen and Judah and their experience of more than 30 years. And it's so nice to know, just starting with walking through the front door in Plantation, that the names on the law firm will be the ones that handle you personally from start to finish. They handle fender benders to big enough to go to trial against the largest companies in South Florida. Go to their website at cohenandjudah.com. Let them handle your injury claim. And by the way, if you're not happy where you are, you've had a lot of promises made and the communication's not there and the relationship's not good in the law firm you're using right now, there's no contracts, man. You can always come over to the team of Cohen and Judah, and they are really, really good at what they do. I'm telling you, exclusively handling all injury claims. Just go to cohenandjudah.com. Doesn't matter what you're going through, man. Any kind of injury, personal injury lawyers, wrongful death, vehicle accident, slip and fall, whatever it is you're going through, these guys are top-notch and will take care of you. cohenandjudah.com. Find out more about them today.